The search for a missing Idaho pilot is growing. Airbus will delay A380 wing crack repairs, and May was Aviation Appreciation Month in New York. This is Aero News for Wednesday, May 30th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The family of a missing Idaho pilot is not giving up hope he'll be found as searchers fanned out Tuesday across 4,000 square miles of mountains, forest, and high desert to find a plane they believe went down in southern Oregon. Tony Nichols, 48, of Meridian, Idaho, dropped off his two stepsons in Lakeview on Thursday and was to return home that day because his daughter was graduating from high school over the weekend. Amy Nichols told the Idaho Statesman Tuesday that her husband is a marathon runner with a high pain tolerance and called him, quote, the toughest man I've ever met in my life, end quote. Officials in Klamath County, Oregon, have said radar and cell phone records indicate the last known position of the 1978 Grumman Cheetah aircraft was near Heart Lake in the area of Plush, Oregon. Authorities say the search area reaches into Nevada and California. Sheriff Tim Evinger of Klamath County, the search spokesman, said searchers had identified high-priority spots from cell phone and flight tracking data, but it's still a needle-in-a-haystack search. Besides rough terrain, there are stands of ponderosa pine 100 feet tall that could easily conceal an aircraft on the ground. There's also been snowfall in the area, and the plane is white. Airbus executives say they are delaying repairs to the A380 aircraft, which have developed cracks in their wing rib feet, into next year because, quote, we only want to go and do this one time, end quote. The French news service AFP reports that Airbus Executive Vice President Tom Enders said that the permanent solution for aircraft in service will not be applied until early in 2013. The plane maker is also expected to begin building wings for the super jumbos out of a new type of aluminum. Those airplanes will not be delivered until 2014. Airbus has consistently held that the cracks do not pose a safety risk for the planes already in service. A group of national aviation organizations is applauding New York Governor Cuomo for declaring May Aviation Appreciation Month in New York. The aviation industry accounts for more than $50 billion of economic activity every year there and employs more than 394,500 people throughout the state. General aviation generates more than $1 billion in economic impact annually in New York and supports almost 9,000 jobs. The proclamation was signed on May 21st. Bombardier celebrated a 20-year history in Ontario with a special event held Tuesday at the company's aerospace facility in Toronto. Bombardier CEO Pierre Beaudoin, joined by Ontario Premier Dalton McGuinty, held a conversation with the company's more than 6,200 Ontario employees gathered in Toronto and at the company's manufacturing facilities in Thunder Bay, North Bay, and Kingston. Beaudoin told the assembled audience, quote, today I am proud that our 6,200 employees in Ontario contribute more than $2.7 billion to the Ontario economy and generate more than $650 million of business for nearly 300 Ontario-based suppliers, end quote. Cottonwood, Arizona police have arrested a man they caught on video firebombing a medevac helicopter early Friday morning. The incident occurred at about 0230 local time on the Verde Valley Medical Center's helipad. According to Cottonwood Police Chief Jody Fanning, security video shows Richard Butts, age 26, heaving a beer bottle he had apparently filled with gasoline at Guardian Air's Bell 407, which was tied down on the pad just a few feet from a tank of jet fuel. The resulting fire charred the front of the aircraft and put a hole in the windshield. Damage is estimated at over $200,000. There were no injuries. ArizonaFamily.com reports that police say the motivation for the attack is not clear, but that Butts had reportedly been drinking. He will face charges including criminal damage and arson. Because the attack involved an aircraft, there may also be federal charges pending. Earlier this week, we reported that the FCC is looking into ways to restore communications after disasters like 2005's Hurricane Katrina, including the use of unmanned drones. Well, now, two companies have responded to the FCC's Deployable Aerial Communications Architecture Notice of Inquiry, with two dramatically different approaches to the problem of providing emergency communications following a natural or man-made disaster. AeroVironment's approach would use its family of portable, hand-launched, small UAS or airborne communication relay. Transportable in a backpack or vehicle and operated using a handheld control unit, AeroVironment's small UAS can be assembled and launched in less than 5 minutes and can fly for between 45 minutes and 2 hours, depending on the model. off-the-shelf communication relay payloads carried by the small UAS will enable handheld public safety and emergency response radios to communicate with one another over long distances or beyond line of sight and without ground-based antennas or repeaters. Meanwhile, Space Data would use its experience with near-space balloon-borne communication platforms to provide communications critical to first responders. Since 2004, Space Data has logged over 250,000 flight hours in near space at altitudes between 65,000 and 90,000 feet in conducting over 20,000 flights of its balloon-borne platforms. This near-space technology has become a critical communications relay capability for the U.S. military, particularly for deployed forces overseas. When AeroNews continues, Transport Canada is asking if falling airborne debris and an engine failure are related. Airline seat fees should not separate mother and child. And a cop who alleged improper helicopter ride-alongs has settled for almost $500,000.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, May 30th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Reports of debris falling from an airliner Monday afternoon are being investigated by Transport Canada after several vehicles were damaged on the ground. The investigation centers on Air Canada's Flight 001, which took off from Toronto at 14:10 local time Monday, destined for Tokyo's Narita Airport. Air Canada spokesman Peter Fitzpatrick said one of the Boeing 777's engines shut down after takeoff, prompting the flight crew to return to Toronto Pearson International Airport. The plane landed normally and passengers were returned to the gate. CNN reports that an hour before that, people began seeing smoke and one spotted what may have been debris coming from a large airliner. Peel Regional Police received several calls from people reporting vehicles had been damaged by debris falling from the sky. As many as five such vehicles were being investigated for damage. So far, there is no direct link connecting the two incidents, but it is being investigated. New York Senator Charles Schumer is urging airlines to allow families with young children to sit together without paying extra fees. The senator is calling for rules to prevent airlines from charging parents more just to sit next to their children. In a statement, Schumer said, quote, "Children need access to their parents, and parents need access to their children. Unnecessary airline fees shouldn't serve as a literal barrier between mother and child," end quote. USA Today reports that since 2011, several airlines have increased the number of seats set aside for frequent flyers or customers willing to pay extra. Fees for the seats, on the aisle, next to the windows, or with more legroom, vary, but typically cost $25 extra each way. Airlines are searching, of course, for new ways to raise revenue to offset rising fuel prices. In the past 5 years, airlines have added fees for checked baggage, watching TV, skipping security lines, and boarding early. Schumer is asking Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood to issue rules preventing airlines from charging parents more to sit next to their children. He is also asking the industry's trade group, Airlines for America, to persuade carriers to voluntarily waive the fees for families. A former Glendale police officer will receive a $450,000 settlement from the city after alleging in a lawsuit that he faced retaliation for raising concerns over officials allegedly auctioning rides in the department's helicopter to charity groups. David Gillespie's lawsuit was dismissed last week in Los Angeles County Superior Court after both parties agreed to the deal, which also requires the city to destroy and seal flight training logs, complaint information, internal memos, two performance evaluations, and information regarding his transfer. In his lawsuit filed in 2009, Gillespie said he was transferred from his position as a pilot in the department's air support unit to regular patrol after he alleged the ride-alongs violated FAA regulations. The practice, in which the police department allowed schools and charities to auction helicopter rides for a contribution of at least $500, was in place for more than 10 years, according to court documents. The LA Times reports the settlement did not assume any guilt on the part of the city. A skydiving company in Lodi, California, is at the center of an investigation following an incident a year ago in which an 80-year-old woman nearly fell to her death during a tandem jump. Television station KXTV reports that the FAA is scrutinizing Lodi Parachute Center and may impose civil penalties against the company. A video posted anonymously on the internet that has now gone viral shows the woman, who apparently had passed out just after exiting the airplane, slipping partially out of her harness on the tandem jump. The skydiving instructor was able to grab onto her, and both made it safely to the ground. The company is reportedly facing two civil penalties for unrelated violations. This weekend in Simpsonville, South Carolina, was the 31st Freedom Weekend Aloft. About 75 balloons had gathered for flying, fun, food, great concerts, and more, as well as to honor the meaning of the Memorial Day holiday. Pilots again flew small U.S. flags on their baskets, and local veterans were invited to pilot briefings on Sunday to present the colors and lead the group in the Pledge of Allegiance. Sunday evening and Monday morning's flights were lost to weather associated with Tropical Storm Beryl. Nevertheless, five team members of Team USA that will represent the U.S. in this summer's World Championships were in attendance and finished, not surprisingly, in the top five spots. The overall winner was Joe Hartzell, while Nick Donner won the Southeast Regional Championship and was second overall by a very slim margin. Chase Donner, Rhett Hartzell, and John Petron, the current world champion, followed closely behind in third, fourth, and fifth, respectively. Well, that's a wrap for this edition of Aero News. Remember, you can subscribe to these AeroCast on iTunes or at www.aero-news.net. Thanks, as always, for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.